I mean, let's go ahead and let's dive it right on in. Texas State football, again, we're so far out.
It's like, what, a month and a half, maybe 6 weeks?
Yeah. That's like days and days.
I mean, yeah.
I want it here tomorrow, Miracle. But it can't happen. So, again, we're going to take a little bit, not like a huge in-depth look, because we'll have a preview series, you know, I'm sure as soon as the school year starts. But this first game versus the Ohio Bobcats, again, this is a team that was 8-5 last year. They went to the Camilla Bowl, ended up losing it to App State, power to the Sun Belt Conference, whoop, whoop. Before we get into stats, you know, we spoke with the play-by-play for Ohio, and he mentioned the similarities that are between these two teams. So, I think, you know, Ohio is, if these teams are climbing ladders, you know, trying to get to the top, Ohio's probably 3 or 4 rungs ahead of Texas State right now. They've been where Texas State was, but they have improved a little bit more. They've improved more over the past couple seasons.
And I'd say that, no disrespect to Ohio, but they definitely don't have as many powerhouse teams as the state of Texas does. If you look at it from that aspect as well.
They've had their coach in place, you know, for some time now. You know, we're going through a change and ups and downs, and you know, Fran had his ups and downs as well. But Ohio just seems to be a little bit more advanced in what they're trying to rebuild and brand themselves as. But again, I think this opening game of the Withers era, like this, it's huge. Whether you expect to win, expect a loss, whatever it is, I think either way, it's going to tell you something about this team. Whether you know it's a big victory coming out, or you know, a hard fought loss, or whether it's you know.
But you'll definitely be able to see his coaching style and kind of get a tone for the rest of the season on how that's going to be.
Yeah, and I think that's. I was going to say that's enough. It's not enough because, you know, you would
want to win.
It's almost enough, you know, but it, like, just to see something different in Texas State football that you haven't seen, you know, in the Fran years, like, we'll call them. It should excite fans.
I'm kind of curious to know what fans are looking for on that first game, because us as analysts, we kind of look for different things out of it. You know, a lot of fans kind of want to see a win. We're looking at the coaching aspect, how different players are playing, where they're being thrown in offensive and defensive sets, different things like that. So I just kind of want to know, like, what their perspective is versus our perspective from that first game. I wonder how that would differ.
You heard it, Twitter. Get on it, at KTSW Sports. Let us know what you're expecting from this first game here.
Yeah, I can tell you something that we are definitely going to experience right away is the strength and conditioning. Something that fans don't know yet, and because they haven't been at camps like we have, but this Texas State team is very much in a better condition when it comes to physical condition, and it's exciting, guys. It's very exciting because I'm not anyone to say, like, well, maybe they're not that strong, or maybe they're stronger. But, if you see, like, there's a change physically, there's got to be a change in the weight room as well. So, if fans were looking for a strong team, I think we can actually definitely have one. We're going to see how that's going to turn out into wins or losses, but we're at least going to have a stronger team from last year.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, and they're going to need it again. The Ohio Bobcats, 8-5 last season. That's, I mean, 8 wins
hard.
Yeah, they got to a bowl game, you know, weren't quite victorious in that bowl game, but they scored 27.5 points a game. They had a great offense, over 2,300 rushing yards, over 3,000 passing yards. It's like, you know, roughly over. You
that's
know,
a balanced offense.
Yeah, they can do a little bit of everything. 450 yards offense a game, 76% in the red zone. Penalties were a little much here and there, and they're getting a lot of their players back. The quarterback Vic is gone, but they've got quarterback DJ Sprague, who, you know, who knows, going to be the starter until we actually get him out there. But he's the one who got reps last year. Last year he played in 7 games, threw for about 900 yards, 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions there. So, you know, he's probably not as talented as Vic, who is leaving, but he's got some experience under his belt anyway, so at least he's been through it and won't kind of just be thrown in there and expected to lead the Ohio Bobcat team. But they're getting their top running back as well, A.J. Willett, almost 700 yards rushing last year, 6 touchdowns. Two big wide receivers, Sebastian Smith and Jordan Reed, both 6'3", both over 200 pounds. Smith had 65 receptions for 777 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's a lot of sevens. And Jordan Reed, 45 receptions for 616 yards, 5 touchdowns. They've actually got 5 wide receivers that are all over 6'2". That's a lot of height for Texas State's defense and defensive backfield to try and be able to cover.
It sounds like they got a lot of wide receivers who know how to make plays happen, too.
Yeah. A very balanced offense last year. No reason to think that's going to change whatsoever, especially when you're returning so many of the same pieces and you've got a quarterback coming in as well. I'm a little concerned about the height of these wide receivers. I need to check in our defensive backs. But
I was going to say, are they big enough to guard them?
We don't have a history of having tall defensive backs.
But speaking of, that was one thing Withers said coming in, that guys were smaller than than their natural positions, and he's trying to bring in bigger guys to kind of, you know, fill those roles and, you know, transition other players to where he feel like they're more naturally fit. So I think that's another thing that we're going to see coming into this season.
Yeah, I think something interesting that we don't actually talk about is that Withers has a long history with defensive backs, and he did that at App State, and he did that at UT. Yesterday I was listening to our neighbors I-35 with The Zone, the Sports Buffet, and they were talking to Phil Steele, and actually a ex-Longhorn, his name's Rod Babers.
Yeah.
And he's a co-host with Craig Way, and he was talking about like Withers, and he was talking about how when he was back in Texas that Withers was his favorite coach, and that he was his DB coach, and that he's really excited out of all the other schools in Texas aside from the Longhorns, that he's excited for Texas State. And that's a lot to say, you know, because UNT has a new coach, and SMU, they're looking good, and Baylor, I mean, maybe not Baylor, but and a gem that we have here with Everett Withers, knowing different types of defense and different positions, is something that, like you said, it's the first game. What are we going to expect?
Yeah, it's so cliche and so cheesy, but it is the beginning of a new era here that we hope is going to be successful and fruitful and elevate this football program to the next level, to where I think we all want to be, where you're in there and you win enough games to get consideration for bowl game and just kind of go up from there. All right, guys, up against the first break here again, Bobcat Radio.
Hey, this is Daryl Morris listening to Bobcat Radio, KTSW, San Marcos.
Back at you on the Wednesday edition, Jason Miracle, Eddie Lerma in the house, as always. Keeping it going here again, we're talking about Texas State football. Some more news breaking out of there as well, but again, if you want to get at us, at KTSW Sports on Twitter, at KTSW Sports, let us know what you're thinking about that first Ohio Bobcats. Again, what we're thinking is, it may not be the biggest matchup on the schedule, but it's one of the most important because it is the first game of the Withers area, of the Withers era. And that Bobcat team is going to be led by Tyler Jones, who was named one of the 50 most important college football players in Texas by Dave Campbell's TexasFootball.com. And it wasn't like this, 46th or, 37th. Tyler Jones was named the number eight player in college football in the state of Texas, again, by Texas Football. Dave Campbell, it's a name I'm sure most sports fans know out there as well. Of course, Bobcat fans know he's the Texas State record holder for highest completion percentage, 65.4 in 2014, that magical 2014 season, if you're around for that one as well. He was a dual threat. Of course, he can run the ball. He can throw the ball as well. So I guess, guys, my question for you is, it's great to see Tyler Jones getting this recognition, again, a top 10 player in the state of Texas, according to Dave Campbell. How much pressure is actually on the shoulders of Tyler Jones? Is it literally all of it? As Tyler Jones goes, so go the Bobcats.
I agree.
Yes.
basically what Eddie said, yes. Tyler Jones, he's, you know, he's had a lot of pressure since he came into San Marcos. And last year was another big year for him where you saw good upsides from him, but you also saw downsides from him. His highs were really high and his lows were really low. I felt like that was a lot of pressure. And then to have, you know, a coaching change during your last season of your collegiate career, I feel like, you know, you have that much more pressure, you know, to perform well. But not only that, you now have another player that's on your heels gunning for your spot. You didn't necessarily have that in years past. I don't think it was really a conversation of whether Tyler Jones was going to be a starter. But I feel like now he knows that that starting spot can go away, so he has to be the one to carry this team.
I completely agree with you. And you know, we've said it plenty of times, but he's truly the great player that we think he is, it's going to emerge. A, because he's getting pushed, and B, because, and you know, he wants to be that that starter again. And then Tyler Jones, he's already, again, national buzz here as well, but, you know, been thrown about in NFL circles as, you know, possibly getting a shot up there, whether it is, you know, being drafted or undrafted free agency or whatever. So, and I think now's the time to shine with that as well. Of course, you know, we talked about the dismissal of the wide receivers a few show back. And one of those guys, Demond Mercer, was a number 42 player in Texas. So it kind of shows what the talent that was lost there. Again, can't do anything about the wide receivers that are gone now, but I don't think that does anything but add more pressure to Tyler Jones. Again, the pressure's on the wide receivers that are in camp or that are on campus right now, simply because they are needed. Like,
and they're new.
Yeah,
like they're all this is going to be, you have to build a relationship over these last, you know, 6 months. Now it's something new with the dismissal of those wide receivers last month. You have, what was that, 3.5-4 months to kind of build a relationship with these new wide receivers?
Yeah, and again, that falls on the shoulder of Tyler Jones. We're putting a lot of emphasis on Tyler Jones, again, just because he's the focus of our conversation. Obviously, the wide receivers have to put in the work, and they have to put in the time and the effort as well. But this is the senior quarterback, Tyler Jones, that we're talking about now. It's the leadership that we need when adversity hits you in the face and you don't have anything really anymore. You just got to make it work, basically, and you look to those senior leaders for that. And I mean, Tyler Jones is the one that Texas State has, so it'll be up to him again to lead this offense and to really just lead this team. Because again, as we said at the beginning of this conversation, as Tyler Jones goes, so go the Bobcats.
Yeah, and we're a bunch of homers, you know.
Hey, that's true.
and nobody can deny that. But honestly, I mean, if another magazine is coming out and saying that Tyler Jones is this person, and a lot of people in the comments are saying, who is that? Who are we talking about again? What is San Marcos? Texas State is on the rise, and if you stick around and look at what Tyler Jones has to offer this year, I think you're going to be at least you're going to at least earn his respect, because his career is not to one to be embarrassed about. He's got a great career. He's at the end of his career, he could be the best quarterback Texas State has ever had in the history of Texas State. So that's a lot to say.
Absolutely. That was going to be my question. Does he go down as one of the best Texas State quarterbacks ever? I mean, you know, Barry Neely is right up there. He's one of my favorites as well. If you're a Bradley George fan, whoever it might have been. I agree, Eddie. He doesn't have a chance to go down and is one of the best here at Texas State, especially if you go look up some stats for some James Madison offense. That team yeah, was putting up points last year, and
lots,
again, I'm sure, you know, Wither had been there a few years and he'd been able to build it up and get his recruits in there as well. But if they can translate half of that over here at Texas State, Tyler Jones should be in for a big year, not only through the air, but running on the ground as well. I expect to see a little bit more of that this season.
I was going to say, I think a Withers offense kind of creates for Tyler Jones to be a little more flexible with his play. He can actually use his feet, get out there. And I think it'll be more so plays where it's designed for him to use his feet, not necessarily where he has to scramble to make up a play. So I feel like his versatility will be shown a lot more this season.
And I'm looking forward to that. I think if you've got that, especially in the college game, I mean, if you've got that, you got to take advantage of it. And again, as we've seen over the past few years, we see flashes of it. He can definitely get down the field very, very quickly. We know he can make the throws, but with the legs as well. So I'm hoping that's incorporated in there, and probably should be, because he's going to be relied on to score a whole lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, and a lot of the social media buzz is that there's enough wide receivers already for him to throw to. A lot of the pictures that are going on and being sent and shared is that a lot of new upcoming freshmen and a lot of transfers that decided, you know what, I'm going to help out my boy Tyler Jones because he did so well in high school. So these are all athletes that have respect for him and want for him to succeed. And we'll keep in updating with the whole roster changes, and we'll let you guys know what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. As soon as camp comes back in, we're getting out there again. We'll give you a little hints and tips on who we think is maybe emerging in that wide receiver core to help out Tyler Jones if he's developing a favorite target. Who's going to emerge at the tight end position as well? So, man, I'm just excited for football. Just so excited for football again. I know it's still a ways away, but it's really not that far away. It's not as far away as it was in February or in January.
I've been looking at a lot of more NFL ads.
Yeah,
and
nice.
I'm getting excited.
We're gonna talk some NFL a little bit later. Cowboy, we got some Cowboy stuff going on.
Can we not?
Can we skip that?
Oh, yeah. If you're a Cowboys fan out there, please don't come for me in any.
Right, that's true. Some not so good news coming down for Georgia Southern, as they've been placed on 2 years probation for improper academic assistance to 3 football players. Again, Georgia Southern, 2 years probation. So, I don't know if I understand this or if I believe this.
Try and break it down for everybody.
Believe this is how it should go. So, a football player used a project from a former assistant compliance director as his own. So basically, this person gives him a project.
Plagiarism kind
of. Says, hey, this is yours. Go ahead, plagiarism, no doubt about it. And he was instructed to lie by the compliance, assistant compliance director to say it was his own. So this, the way I'm envisioning this is basically these, assistant compliance director coming up to this football player and saying, hey, I know you have this book report due. I wrote this 4 years ago. Just take this and use it as your own.
Doubt it happened like that. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe unless, like, these players – did they release what players it was?
This – the news board I read did not.
And I think maybe if it's one of their major players, then maybe that could have happened, because if he's a key player and key to the system, then possibly so. But that's I still find that hard to believe, knowing the amount of trouble that you could get in for that.
Yeah.
I think they knew. I want to be the instigator and say, you know what? You guys knew what you guys were getting into.
So let me tell you the second half of this, and I'll agree with you. So, okay, there's 3 football players. This is one. So the next infraction here, the former assistant director of student athlete services submitted 10 extra credit assignments by obtaining 2 football players' usernames and passwords. So think about tracks,
This is so funny to me.
And the players supposedly did not know any of this happened. They just the extra credit just magically. So somebody logs into your tracks, submits 10 assignments for extra credit, and you get all those bonus points. But the players somehow did not know.
I doubt that as well. First of all, where do they get your password and your login from?
Exactly.
Because I have a hard time just keeping up with y'all email address. So that's a problem for me. Number two. I don't know if football players don't pay attention to it, but I definitely check my tracks like every other day just to make sure, because I want to know if these professors are grading on time.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't tell me that all of a sudden you magically have 5 extra credit assignments at the bottom of your portal.
Oh, my grade just rose by 13 points.
Wow.
I don't know what happened. I completely agree. They had to have known.
That one's a little harder to believe.
That's just, yeah.
And we talk about how football is always so big in Texas, but, I mean, maybe Georgia, maybe it's a big thing.
Georgia's a big football state. Yeah,
it's in the South. There's no it's football country. There's no doubt about it.
We're not lawyers either. But we know something fishy was going on there.
Yeah, they'll get it. I'm sure Ole Miss has got something headed their way as well.
Well, don't they always?
Again, Georgia Southern, 2 years probation. They lose a loss of 2 football scholarships, 10% reduction in official visits, 10% reduction in football evaluations as well. They've got to vacate all the victories that they won while these said players were there. A $5,000 fine. And this is a team that went 9-4 last year. Went to the GoDaddy.com Bowl, won that one over Bowling Green. This is, I mean, looking like a good team here in the Sun Belt. And this doesn't kill their team. I mean, they're still going to be a very good team. But it puts a little damper on things.
I have a question.
Yeah.
When wins are vacated, what does that actually do?
Nothing. It's just in the books.
Because for me, it's like, okay, well, I know as a player, I already went out on the field. I actually won that game, whether you tell me I won it or not. I know what the scoreboard said.
That makes me, like, my old man brain goes back to Reggie Bush
and
all that. They want to take the trophy or whatever. I'm like,
he already won it.
Yeah,
so
I mean, like,
matter.
What are you gonna do? Give it to somebody else? And that's when the Longhorns were like up in arms and wanted Vince Young to match to get the trophy or whatever.
Oh, whatever.
And I'm like, how does that conversation go down if Vince and Reggie are in the same room? Vince is just like, yeah, I know. Yeah, you won it. It's all for, you know, show and the NCAA to say, yeah, we did something.
Now I can see the fines and suspensions or whatever, all that good stuff, because that's tangible things. But I already won, so you can't take a win away from me.
It's like, I don't like the loss of scholarships, and I don't like the reductions.
Nothing to do with those players.
You're punishing the players that are coming in and not there. So
find the coaches.
Yeah,
something.
Find out. Yeah, find. I mean, I'm sure these graduates, assistants, and whatever have all been let go and fired or whatever. But you know, not before they got their college money or whatever it was. But yeah, something should be done to punish the players and the players that did it too. Like, they need to be punished. Obviously, they shouldn't have been doing it, but the guys that did it, not the guys that are coming in, don't take their scholarships.
Can you take away like their diploma or something?
Wow, what's going on?
Hey,
the way I see it is, if we as regular people plagiarize an assignment and a professor finds out about it, we, you know, either are kicked out of the class, or we're expelled from the university. So I don't see what would make it any different. Are you entitled because you're an athlete?
Ooh, you're right. I stand mistaken then.
Yeah,
it's true.
So like if I
Miracle
go
calling people out so early, it's 10:26.
I'm just saying, like that always like athletes always feel so entitled, and that's one of those things for me. If we go and do it, you know, we're kicked out of the university, you know, and we possibly have to pay back, you know, financial aid, scholarship money. But if athletes do it, you know, they get a smack on the hand, their wins are taken away, and they still get to graduate, keep a diploma, XYZ. Or
so,
they can just go play somewhere else.
So with that being said, was that enough of a fine for Georgia Southern? Or, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, $5,000, like, that's
nothing.
That's probably, that's walking around money for college universities, so... you know, maybe, but again, if you find the university, like, it's just taking money out of, I want to say it's taking money out of the students' pockets, but, you know, maybe you directly find, you know, the athletic department or whatever it is, or the coach, or
he's not
the athletic director, or whatever it is, so it's not affecting the students of the university or the future athletes that could be coming and benefiting, not only because they're getting a full ride, but to getting that free education as well. Which, you know, is supposedly what college is about. So.
Yeah, and honestly, another point you brought out is that, I mean, the coaches, right? Yeah. And the head coach for Georgia Southern isn't not there anymore. He went to Tulane. So,
Good call, Eddie.
So right now the current coach is out here trying to fix all this stuff, and he had nothing to do with it. He was there before, so maybe he has something to do with it.
And like Jason said, you take it back to the USC situation. Pete Carroll was gone, so did it really matter at that point?
kind of done with that. You got me. I'm going to Seattle, guys.
Was that the history lesson here? Did he go to Seattle after USC?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then they waited until, I think it was, 2 years into Seattle when they finally broke the news?
Yeah, so it wasn't definitely one right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's kind of smoke, but not fire.
Basically,
all those years are blurry to me right now.